Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Jaya Gora Nitai, Jaya Gora Nitai, Jaya Gora Nitai, Jaya Gora Nitai. Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Baba Deva, Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvajakacharya Astar Sata Sri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupad Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupad Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sagho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mayi Ki Jai, Yamuna Mayi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulasi Devi Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga, glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Oh, yeah, the Corrado upstairs. It's in. Maharaja's throne. Huh? Yeah. Is this the right verse? Somebody had written to me earlier saying it was number 13. But maybe it's...
Doesn't make any difference, but... How long does the class usually go?
8:30.
8:30, okay. Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giriradhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giriradhari. Sodanandana Vajra Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vajra Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivadadhari. Gopichana Vallabha Girivadadhari. Sodanandana Vajjana Ranjana. Yashodanandana Vajjana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Vihari. Gopichana Vallabha Girivadadhari. Gopichana Vallabha Girivadadhari. Sodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Vihari.
Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvajakacharya Astarasata Sri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Anata Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai Namacharya Sri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Skoho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gogopinath Shamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Gangamayi Ki Jai Yamunamayi Ki Jai Srimati Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Gaur Premananda, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons, Text 12. Yatra, Dvija, Gavo, Veda, Varnashrama, Kriyaha, Tam, Janapadam, Yata, Sandipayata, Vrishchata, Yatra, Yatra, Dvijagavo, Veda Varna Shrama Kriyaha Tam Tam Jana Padam Yata Sandipaya Tavrishchata Yatra Yatra Dvija Gavo Veda Varna Shrama Kriyaha Tam Tam Jana Padam Yata Sandipaya Tavrishchata Yatra Yatra Dvija Gavo Veda Varna Shrama Kriyaha Tamta Janapadam Yata Sandipaya Tavrishchata Yatra Yatra Dvija Gavo Veda Varna Shrama Kriyaha Tam Tam Jana Padam Yata Andipayata Vistapa Yatra Yatra Dijagavo Veda Varna Shrama Kriyaha Yatra Yatra Dvija Gavo Vaishnavis, Yatra Yatra Dvija Gavo Varnashrama Kriyaha Ayatavishtata Yatra Yatra Wherever Dvijaha The Brahmanas Gavaha The Protected Cows Vedaha The Vedic Culture Varna Ashrama of the Aryan civilization of four Varnas and four Ashramas. Kriyaha, the activities. Tam Tam, that. Janapadam, to the city or town. Yata, go. Sandipayata, set fire. Vrishchata, cut down all the trees. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Immediately go wherever there is good protection for the cows and brahmanas, and wherever the Vedas are studied in terms of the Varnashrama principles. Set fire to those places and cut from the roots the trees there, which are the source of life. Please repeat. Immediately go wherever there is good protection for the cows and the brahmanas, and wherever the Vedas are studied in terms of the Varnashrama principles. Set fire to those places and cut from the roots the trees there, which are the sources of life. Purport. The picture of a proper human civilization is indirectly described here. In a perfect human civilization, there must be a class of men fully trained as perfect brahmanas. Similarly, there must be kshatriyas to rule the country very nicely according to the injunctions of the shastras. And there must be vaishyas who can protect the cows. The word gavaha indicates that cows should be given protection. Because the Vedic civilization is lost, cows are not protected, but instead indiscriminately killed in slaughterhouses. Such are the acts of demons. Therefore, this is a demoniac civilization. The Varnashram Dharma mentioned here is essential for human civilization, unless there is a Brahmana to guide, a Kshatriya to rule perfectly, and a perfect Vaishya to produce food and protect the cows. How will people live peacefully? It is impossible. Another point is that the trees also should be given protection. During its lifetime, a tree should not be cut for industrial enterprises. In Kali Yuga, trees are indiscriminately and unnecessarily cut for industry, in particular for paper mills that manufacture a profuse quantity of paper for the publication of demoniac propaganda, nonsensical literature, huge quantities of newspapers, and many other paper products. This is the sign of a demoniac civilization. The cutting of trees is prohibited unless necessary for the service of Lord Vishnu. Yagnartat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Quote, work done as a sacrifice for Lord Vishnu must be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. End quote. But if the paper mills stop producing paper, one may argue, how can our ISKCON literature be published? The answer is that the paper mills should manufacture paper only for the publication of ISKCON literature, because ISKCON literature is published for the service of Lord Vishnu. This literature clarifies our relationship with Lord Vishnu, and therefore the publication of ISKCON literature is the performance of yajna. Yajnartat karmano nyatra loko yam karma bandhana. Yajna must be performed as indicated by the superior authorities. The cutting of trees simply to manufacture paper for the publication of unwanted literature is the greatest sinful act. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So the verse again. Immediately go wherever there is good protection for the cows and brahmanas, and wherever the Vedas are studied in terms of the Varnashram principles. Set fire to those places and cut from the roots the trees there, which are the source of life. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the picture of a perfect human civilization is indirectly described here. So, in the modern world, people don't have a very clear idea of what the purpose of civilization is. You know, they think the purpose of civilization is to increase material sense gratification for people to the maximum extent. And therefore they judge, you know, the success of a country or the success of a civilization by how much economic development there is, or how many skyscrapers there are, or how many cars there are, or how many smartphones there are, or how many dollars or the average person is making, or how strong the military is of the country. You know, they have all these measures for judging the success of a civilization, but the real measure of a good civilization is how many of the souls of the people in that civilization are going back home, back to Godhead. How many souls are being delivered from the cycle of birth and death. So in a properly organized Vedic civilization, people are satisfying their material needs in the most simple, natural, and efficient way possible, while putting most of their human energy into developing their God consciousness. So that is how civilization is arranged when there are proper brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and sutras. It's mentioned here that, I mean, you know, Hiranyakashipu is instructing the demons to destroy the actual foundations of a really good civilization. And it's mentioned that the demons are being instructed to attack the Varnashrama principles. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Chatur Varnya Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. I've established this system of varnas, of occupations, which should be determined not by birth, but by work, karma, and guna, qualities. So there are, you know, four principal varnas in the social body. The brahmanas, or the intellectuals, are compared to the head of society because they give society direction. You know, a person has to have a good brain. If the brain is deranged, then a person has no good direction, doesn't know what to do. He acts in such a way that he causes trouble for himself and trouble for others. And the social body also requires kshatriyas, rulers, administrators to organize and protect society. And society also requires vaishyas, segment of people who are engaged in economic development. And also it requires sudras to support the work of the other classes of society. So this isn't just some matter of Hindu culture. These social divisions are naturally there in all human societies. And every human society, there's some class of intellectuals, some class of rulers, administrators, some class of people engaged in economic development, and some class of ordinary working people. It's there in all societies. But in a perfect Vedic civilization, there are perfect Brahmins with perfect vision about the purpose, the ultimate purpose of human life, and they give guidance to all the other parts of society. They give guidance to the kshatriyas, how they should properly rule society, who they should protect and why. They give proper guidance to the brahmanas, how to provide the economic necessities for the whole society. And they give proper instruction to the ordinary working people, how they should work in the whole civilization. So in the modern human civilization, there is an intellectual class that's dominant, the modern materialistic scientist, and they don't have a proper vision for the real purpose of human life. Atato Brahma Jigyasa, the Vedic literature explains, now is the time, now that we have the human form of life, it's time to inquire about the absolute truth. To understand, Aham Brahmasmi, I am spirit soul. And what is the nature of that spirit soul? Jivaras Rupahoi Krishnara Nityadas. It's the eternal servant of Krishna. So we are meant to realize that. Of course, the modern intellectual leaders of society, they don't have any understanding that there's a soul, that there's God. They prefer to keep these things down. You know, the intellectual leaders of society, they think today we're just machines made of molecules in competition with each other for survival. We're evolved apes. And there's no need of any God to explain the universe and the forms of life in it. Asatyam apratishtam te jagat ahur anishvaram aparasparasam bhutam kimanya kamahaitakam. You know, they're thinking, there is no God in control of the universe. Everything is just matter. Matter is functioning according to its own laws. There is no purpose, higher purpose to life. Life is just what we make it, whatever we decide to do. And if some people want to believe in God, believe in their Bible or Quran or Bhagavad Gita, fine. Let them have freedom of religion, just as long as they don't try to bring it into the organization of society and the education system. If privately people want to believe in their God or their soul or whatever other fantasy they have, then let them do that. But if you want to know the real truth, we can explain everything without God, without the soul, and we can organize society without any concern for such things, other than to give the people who believe in these things their little private place where they can do these things. So therefore, yeah, because the intellectual leaders of society today have these wrong ideas, they've organized society in a way that really they're not telling the Kshatriyas, the government leaders, the military leaders, the police, the administrators, who to protect. As Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport, in a proper Vedic civilization, the cows are very important as the basis of the economy. But in modern civilizations, for the most part, they're being slaughtered indiscriminately, millions and millions of them each day. So that is not helpful for the progress of a genuine civilization. It's building up huge amounts of bad karma. You know, Srila Prabhupada once observed, you know, people are wondering why there's so many wars, why there's so much violence in society. Part of the reason is so many cows and other animals are being slaughtered. And Srila Prabhupada is even mentioning in this purport the fact that millions of trees are being cut down. Actually, this deforestation is a big problem all over the world. India used to be covered by forest. Now there's very few forested areas, and it's a similar situation in other parts of the world. So by this indiscriminate killing of animals, cutting down of trees, there is a huge amount of bad karma being generated. Of course, it's the age of Kali, and the situation is bad enough, but because of the misguided activities of the leaders of human society today, things are made that much worse. So, if there were properly educated brahmanas who were leading society, then the administrators and the vaishyas, they would know how to conduct their activities. The vaishyas today think that the main purpose in life is ever increasing production and consumption of material things. And they think that the basis of human society is making more and more things in factories and selling more and more of them to people in, without any limit. So they're consuming the earth's resources at an unsustainable rate, and they're polluting the air, polluting the water, polluting the land. Of course, Krishna describes this in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He says, if there is a civilization that's based on this idea that matter is the only thing that is important, and there is no God in control, there's no higher purpose in human life, then they'll think that to gratify the senses until death is the main purpose of human existence. And in doing so, they'll be full of anxiety from the beginning of their lives to the end. Krishna explains that in the 16th chapter. And they'll also create horrible things meant to destroy the world. So when the vaishyas are not properly guided, that's the situation that you get. So, also in this verse, the demons are being instructed to attack the Vedic literature. So they're doing these things today. And that's why, you know, Srila Prabhupada wanted his literature distributed. You know, he's saying a very radical thing here. He said paper should only be used to print ISKCON literature. It's a pretty extreme statement. But if that were done, the world would be a much better place than it is today. It's not likely to happen anytime soon, but you know, the point is there. So Srila Prabhupada was thinking in a big way, although he came all by himself to the United States, and somehow or other, by Krishna's arrangement, got a few followers, opened some centers. He was thinking way beyond that. If you read his preface to the Srimad Bhagavatam, he was thinking in terms of the whole human civilization, giving it guidance. So, of course, whatever Krishna gave him, he took care of. So we should maintain that vision ourselves, whatever it is Krishna has given us in terms of facility and followers and resources. We should be very careful with that and very attentive towards it. But we should be simultaneously thinking of how to increase the presence of Krishna consciousness in our city, in our country, in the world that we live in. And fortunately, that mood is present in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And it should remain present. Does anybody have any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. You made these two points that you quoted that verse from Bhagavad Gita that the demoniac species of life, they try to explain the world without God, without a soul. Towards the end of your class, you made this nice point about the need for focusing on expansion, the activities of Krishna consciousness. So what we find when we preach in college environments is trying to justify or present the value of a society with religious values is no longer seen as something very relevant nowadays. Because like you were saying, you can organize society without God. You can inculcate morality without God. You can have economics without God. So why have a God at all? So I'm just wondering if you could share a little bit about how do we go about explaining and perhaps, you know, solidly convincing those who have no faith in such a notion that that a society with religion, with spiritual values, is much better off than a society without.
It's a good question. I would point out, first of all, that for centuries in the West, they've been trying to organize secular societies. And yet we see there's still so many problems. Of course, there can be a lot of problems in the world. One set of problems comes from secular societies that try to put God and the soul in the background or eliminate them. Another problem comes from sectarian religion. You know, so there's a lot of problems in human society today. So one of the problems is that people may not have a good conception of what a genuine religion is actually like. So that can be a problem. And actually, even in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Pritya Ja. Srila Prabhupada translates it, abandon all varieties of religion. Mamekam Sharanam Raja, and just surrender to me. So it's necessary for people to understand what real spirituality is. It's not a sectarian belief system on the basis of which people fight and cause all kinds of disturbance in human society. Rather, it's a system for understanding the real truth about ourselves. And the real truth is that we're conscious selves different from matter. And everybody is a conscious self. You know, like Srila Prabhupada would emphasize, we're not Indian, we're not American, we're not black, white, this or that. We're all spirit souls. Of course, sometimes if you use a word like soul, for some people, they think, okay, that's just a matter of belief. You know, it's something that you believe. It's a religious concept. But sometimes I find with such people, if you tell them you're a conscious self, I mean, who can deny that they're conscious and that they're a self? It's not anything that requires belief. It's the most real fact of our existence. And no scientist has explained how you get consciousness from matter. So if people can be shown that we're not talking about some belief system, but about things that are actually real, then what follows from these realities? It's natural to think that everything has a source or something that's supporting it. So conscious selves must have a source. That source should also be conscious, individual, and personal, as we are. It's not unreasonable to think that there should be such a thing. So if we can convince them that these are realities, I mean, gradually and step by step build it up, that yeah, we should know who we are and where we are. If a person doesn't know who he is or where he is, such a person is in big trouble. It's going to do things that are going to cause trouble to himself, trouble to others. If you don't know what yourself really is, you can't really act in your own self-interest. So first of all, we should know what the self is. You know, so there are different approaches, you know, that can be taken. Excuse me?
Follow up?
Sure.
You made a nice point about how no scientists have been able to explain the source of consciousness. Kind of reminded me a little bit of your particular service in ISKCON. Just wondering if you could share with us what exactly do you need, or what exactly do you think ISKCON as a society needs to do to sort of revive the Bhaktivedanta Institute and bring back that literary tradition of, you know, when you do research for preaching, you find the Christian scientists are very busy publishing articles, you know, newspaper journals, trying to show the validity of creationism over evolution, things like that. So we as a religious organization, what do we have to do to sort of create that for us, you know, and have our own scientific wing and publish widely on all sorts of topics, so sociology, anthropology, physics, chemistry?
Well, it's something that, you know, Srila Prabhupada definitely wanted. So how to do that is, I'm going to be honest, right at the moment, it's a little bit of a puzzle how to do that. But first thing is to meditate carefully on Srila Prabhupada's instructions about these things. I mean, there is a possibility that the upcoming Temple of Vedic Planetarium will provide a catalyst for re-engaging members of ISKCON who have some scientific training. You know, there's some talk that there will be, you know, and it's in the planning stages, early planning stages, but there will be some institute connected with the Temple of Vedic Planetarium. So that's a possibility. Meanwhile, you know, individuals like myself and others kind of continue, you know, with these things. And one thing I'd like to do personally is just write a book about Srila Prabhupada and science, gather together all his statements. I mean, they're scattered, you know, throughout his books and lectures and letters and things like that, and have that as a resource. But it is something that needs further development in our society. At least that was Srila Prabhupada's vision. He had a big vision for it. But it's like so many other things we're trying to do in our society. You know, Srila Prabhupada gave big visions, and we haven't been able to fully manifest them, but as long as we're thinking and trying and realizing this is something that needs to be done, then somehow or other, you know, it will manifest somehow. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the beautiful presentation. A couple of comments and perhaps some questions. So you were discussing how you're talking about the intelligentsia, how the intelligentsia, you know, are the leaders of the society. Could you discuss a little bit about, you know, material intelligence and spiritual intelligence? You discussed it a little bit, how the leaders, like the brahmanas, they should know about the soul. That's one question. And then as we're hearing this, it seems that an ideal government is a monarchy where the kings are Raja Rishis, and they're guided by, you know, brahmanas, which, so there's just a hankering if that will ever manifest in Kali Yuga, even in, you know, a small corner of the world. So do you have any thoughts on these two? Thank you. Hare Krishna.
So you've expressed it very nicely yourself, what the ideal situation is. As I was mentioning in the class, atato brahma jigyasa, you know, according to Vedanta Sutra, the purpose of human life is to inquire about the absolute truth. What is the nature of the soul? What is the nature of God? How do we understand and realize these things? That's the main purpose of real human civilization. So, I mean, the soul is not meant to be in the material world. It can fully express its real nature only on the spiritual level of reality. So why is it here? Well, each soul has free will, and some souls are exercising their free will in such a way that makes them unqualified to exist in Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. So that's why there is a material world in the first place, to give a place for souls that are not fit to exist in the spiritual world to act out their desires to enjoy independently from Krishna. So the material world exists for that purpose, but it also exists for another purpose, to reform and educate souls who have some inclination to be in the state where they can fully express their spiritual nature. So that opportunity is there, and Krishna has made an arrangement that there are teachers, there are lines of spiritual teachers in the material world, and there's also the possibility that those lines of spiritual teachers can give instruction not just to individuals but to leaders of society, so that they can organize society in a proper way that lets people satisfy their material needs in the most simple, natural, and efficient way possible while making spiritual progress. So it depends on intellectual leaders understanding that whole basic setup of, you know, that this isn't just some accidental universe. You know, that's what they think now. There was some fluctuation of the quantum mechanical vacuum that led somehow or other to some virtual particles that existed in matter and antimatter forms. And there was some slight imbalance, you know, they say, to the matter, on the matter side, so that when all the matter and antimatter eliminates itself, there's some residue of matter that begins to expand. Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, they just think we're in an accidental universe, and that somehow or other, once an accidental universe comes into being, you know, the chemicals in it somehow or other self-organize to form some first living thing, and then by evolution, by natural selection, it develops into. If you have that idea of the universe and our nature, then you get a civilization like we have now. We just make up some purpose for ourselves. We're machines made of molecules in competition with others for survival. We divide ourselves into competing, fighting groups and kill the cows and chop down the trees and destroy Vedic civilization. So the key to changing that is having intellectuals who have a proper conception of who we are and where we are, you know, that why this universe exists. And Srila Prabhupada put those understandings in these books, and in his preface he says that he's hoping that this knowledge will reach the leaders of human society and influence them. So, I don't know, is this answering your question?
Yeah, and as you're speaking, even Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's, like the disciple succession, Krishna chose a kshatriya, a leader, to speak.
Yes, imam rajarsha, imam parampara praptam, imam rajarshayo vidahu. This knowledge is passed down through disciplic succession, and the saintly kings, the Rajarshis, understood it in that way, indicating that this knowledge is intended for not just a few individuals, but ultimately for the leaders of human civilization. And we see some of our preachers are interacting with the economic and political leaders of human society today. I've seen, you know, for example, Radhanath Swami, you know, speaking in forums of economic and political leadership. So, and others are also, you know, doing these things. So hopefully, you know, that will increase more and more as time goes on.
Yeah, as you're discussing in the beginning part of your lecture, these leaders, you know, they are putting God out of the picture, but the intelligentsia, they are taking the place of God. And they are, as you're saying, they are leading the masses in that direction.
Yeah,
there are many problems with this world, as you said. I mean, just that's another one. Yeah,
I think it's one reason why Srila Prabhupada was stressing the creation of a class of brahmanas with the hope. You know, I would say some portion of the leaders today, they really are essentially demoniac, opposed to God consciousness in the cores of their hearts. But some, I think, are good intention. You know, they have good intentions, but they lack proper guidance. If they were informed properly, they probably would do good things if they could see the value of it. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.